Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Woo! My. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I believe I heard the Lord telling me that he was talking to somebody here during that worship time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I believe that the Lord said you need to let them talk because I told them something. So this is a time of faith, okay? So if the Lord was telling you something you thought you needed to share with the church, then you need to come on up here. Hallelujah. Mary, I need a mic. Yellow mic. Yellow microphone.
One thing he was dealing with me about, a lot of things, but one of them was miracles. Who in this place has ever had a miracle in their life? Please stand.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Okay, do you see how many miracles he works in our lives every day? He's the one we need to give all the glory, honor, and praise to. We need to lift him up and adore him every day and every minute of our lives.
Hallelujah, absolutely.
Because he's there for us.
Thank you, absolutely. Hallelujah. Anybody else? God talking to me? Bonnie.
He's doing miracles. You need to reach out. Use your faith. Turn it on. Start believing for what God's doing, and you'll receive it.
Hallelujah. Hey, God's preaching. I don't care. This is it.
I can spend my whole life trying to establish and defend my own worth. But when I surrender that to the Lord, when I surrender that to, I mean, even if I don't understand it very well, my worth is in the blood of Jesus Christ shed for me, and I surrender to that. That's it.
Why don't you pray for us, sir? Wait, hold on. Jimmy's got one. Last one's got the mic, has to pray for the message.
Okay, everyone knows I'm just going to cry the whole time, so that's what I do.
I love you. I love when you cry.
Last week, as Sean talked about miracles and believing God and healing, one of the things that God kept reminding me of is the last year that I got to teach first grade at Faith Lutheran, and every morning we would get together with all the kids. It was actually Meredith's class. And we would talk about prayer requests. And these kids, they just loved to pray. And they just believed God. Whatever you said to them or whatever we prayed about, they just, yeah, God can do that. And we prayed for my aide's husband. He had prostate cancer. And either God was going to have to heal him or he was going to need to have surgery. So we prayed every single day, and the kids just prayed that God would heal him, and they just knew that God could do that, and just how big and great and awesome God was. And then one little girl said, yeah, but I prayed for God to heal my grandma, and God didn't heal my grandma. And I said, yeah, that happens sometimes. We pray and we ask God things, but sometimes God just says, I have a different plan. I have something in mind. And God did heal your grandma because she's in heaven with Jesus. And she just says, yeah. So for 9 months, we pray for this man every single day, and it's the day of surgery, and they were doing tests before they did surgery, and Karen calls and says he still has cancer, he's going to have surgery. So I tell the kids that morning, and just without missing a beat, they're like, okay, guess God has something else planned, let's thank God, and just continue on with that. And I remember that because I want to be like that. They had faith that God could do all those things, and he can, and he still does, and he still is. He's doing that in our lives. The fact that I have a baby is a miracle. Sean's mom being healed, that's a miracle.
Absolutely.
God's still doing those things, but when God chooses not to, I want to be like that little girl who says, oh, well, guess God had something else planned, and we move on praising God. That's what we need to do.
That's right. That's right.
That's all I got.
It's wonderful.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you that your spirit is alive and real,
yes,
in this
amen.
Place. We just thank you for the times that we get to feel your presence, because we know that we don't always feel your presence. And that's okay, because it doesn't mean that you're any less with us. So we just praise you for the times when we get to feel you so thick like we have today. And I just pray over Scott as he brings the message, that every word that he speaks would be straight from your
Hallelujah.
Mouth right to our hearts. And that
you,
it would
Lord.
Pierce our hearts and just cause us to be closer to you and cause us to change. Whenever we hear your word, God, we want to be changed. We want our minds to be changed the way we think so we can be more like you. And we just love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. Well, one of our dear brothers and sisters, Bobby Lynn, is in the hospital this morning. He's had terrible back pain, and we prayed for him to be healed, and he hasn't yet. So why don't you reach your hands forward, and let's pray for him right now. Father, thank you so much for our brother Bobby. We thank you so much for his obedience to you and your love for him. Father, we just pray right now that your healing power would just fall upon him, Father. That the pain that's in his back, whatever is out of place, whatever nerves are damaged or muscles are out of place, Father, we just pray that right now in the name of Jesus, he be healed. That you just take away that pain, that you set everything back right the way you've designed it and the way you created him. And we pray that in faith, Father. We expect a great report in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my name is Scott Weens. I'm a teaching pastor here. I get a chance to speak every once in a while, and I love to share the word. And we are going through the book of Acts for those who have never been here. Who's a first timer? Any first timers here? Hi, welcome. We've been going through the book of Acts, by the way. You can find all our sermons online. We expect you to have listened to them all by next week. Don't listen to my last one. It went an hour. I didn't believe that. And I apologize to everybody. This one I'll make up, okay? All right. Well, last week we had an amazing service here that I missed because I was at another amazing service. I got a chance to go to Toledo, Ohio, and be a part of a couple of healing services where I got to see God do some wonderful healings as well. And it was a wonderful thing, wonderful experience. It increased my faith. And I was just very much moved by that. We have to celebrate miracles.
Amen.
We have to celebrate miracles. Because that means we're celebrating God. So we are a church that celebrates miracles. This was a miracle. What happened with Sean's mother, Gaylene. That's a miracle. And anybody who doesn't believe that, we just cast out that unbelief in the name of Jesus. Because that's healing, and we stand on that, and we stand that she is going to remain healed. We stay. You stand with us together on that. We have to celebrate miracles. And the book of Acts is full of miracles. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. In verse 1, Pastor Sean covered this last week. Peter and John are walking into the temple. There's a lame man sitting there. Of course, he couldn't stand, and he asked for some money. And do you guys remember what Peter said to him? Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you freely. Stand up and walk. And miracles do happen today. And if we don't celebrate them, and if we don't pray in faith, they won't happen. They won't happen. And that was a beautiful example of that faith. And now, if you can imagine, there's quite a commotion in the temple. This man is hanging on to Peter and John. He's hanging on to him. I mean, if someone just healed you from the fact you couldn't walk for years and years and years, I'd want to hang on to him for a while too, wouldn't you? You can almost see John just hanging on to Peter and just like, I don't want to let go because I'm afraid if I let go, maybe my legs will let go. But no, he was totally healed. Heal. So this is the picture. And all these people came over because they knew this guy. They saw this guy before. They went past him many times. And I think as you pulled out last week, I listened to it online, Jesus undoubtedly had walked past this person before. But it was God's timing for him to be healed now, for this miracle to be saved for the early church, and to glorify him, the resurrected king. So a lot of people have now gathered around, and Peter does what Peter does best. He preaches the gospel. So let's read this. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. I know you went through verse 11 and 12, but we'll pick it up in verse 11. So while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, I love this, when Peter saw the people, he decided to preach. He said, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Brethren, why does it surprise us that Galen McCracken was healed?" I want to get to a point where I just say, yes, I knew that was going to happen. Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. He's establishing that the very same God that they worshiped every day in that temple was the God who sent Jesus Christ that allowed this healing to happen. I doubt if the Pharisees were healing a lot of people at this time. I don't think so. I think they were making up rules. Now look in the end of verse 13. "You," Peter continues on, "handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you." We're going to come back and park on this in a minute. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." Now, I don't think he went through the Dale Carnegie course of how to win friends and influence people. I truly believe that if you work through that book, this is not the way to make friends. "You killed the holy and righteous one of Israel." Wow. You can bet that they were getting a little angry with him, but I don't think he cared. "You," verse 15, "you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." They saw the resurrected Jesus. Verse 16, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name, and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see." Peter kept going back and giving the credit where the credit was due, and that was to Jesus. "Now, brothers," he continues on, "I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders." Wow. He's given them an out, isn't he? He really is giving them an out. But after this, there are no more outs. "But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Christ would suffer." So Peter understood that this had to happen. You remember when Jesus first told the disciples, "I have got to go. I've got to go away. And I'm going to be killed." They said, "No. You can't do that. That can't be the plan." And now the same person that was saying that is now saying this had to be fulfilled. So he understood the big picture. He understood the plan of God. And he knew this had to happen. He had it very clear in his mind. Look in verse 19. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Wow. He's saying, listen, you did all these things, but you can now repent, and you can have the times of refreshing. Anybody who's been walking in sin for a long period of time and comes to the foot of the cross and gives their lives over to Jesus Christ can attest that it is refreshing. Amen? It is refreshing. And these times of refreshing now, that moving from the old covenant, the burden of the law, now to grace, it's a beautiful, beautiful time. Verse 21. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. He keeps going back to things that they're familiar with, by the way. For Moses said, and they would have known this, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything that he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people." Wow, I love that. He's like saying, listen, don't listen to me. Moses said this. And Moses was like a rock star to the Jews, okay? Verse 24, "Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers." He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When David raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. We know that the gospel was first delivered to the house of Israel, to the Jews, and then to the Gentiles. So what I want to do, though, is I want to focus on just a few verses in here, realizing that when we have passages of Scripture, we could literally preach for weeks and weeks on what I just read. Okay, but we're going to focus on this one now. Because as I read this over and over and over again, something just really jumped out at me, and I believe the Lord wants me to share that. So we're going to go back to Acts 3, verse 13. And this is when he's really kind of hitting them with both barrels. This is the same Jesus in 13b, that's the second part of verse 13. "This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. Despite Pilate's decision to release him, you rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer." Now, a couple of things in here that I want to touch on, but I first want to make this come alive to you. How many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ? The Passion of the Christ is a very powerful, powerful movie about the last days of Jesus Christ. And there's a scene in there that I wanted to show you because I really wanted this to come alive. It's in this scene, the Jewish rulers have brought Jesus to the Romans, and Pilate is now faced with having to make a decision whether he should release Jesus or release, as was their tradition, one person to the Jews at this time of the year. Now, what's interesting is you watch this, you will see that, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, but you will see the person that they choose, that Pilate chooses to release. So let's go ahead and play this. Make sure the sound's up too, if you don't mind. This is Pilate.
Ερώτος μαλακά, λαχασκάς την πένα ζνά. Ωανα λαχασκά χέτ τη βράτ. Barabba. Bilkom. Jay-Z Baraba!
Liberateu!
אם יש הוא אנצרת יצטלב יצטלב לך מוסק מלכות עדיין אשלח לך
Проведе от кастигацио се вера сите бенадер. Седно ли синере еос еон учидери.
Pretty powerful scene. And it kind of gives you a visual of what probably came close to happening. I don't know if, obviously Hollywood was having fun with Barabbas. Pretty mean-looking dude. You sure wouldn't want him over for dinner, would you? The thing that I want to point out here is that when you look at this man that they chose to be released, this Barabbas, a couple of interesting things about him that you may not know. I'm going to point a couple things out. You can advance the slide if you don't mind. I know we're probably getting the screen. So what I wanted to point out about Barabbas is that he was a known murderer. Okay? He was a known murderer, but more than that, he was known as a revolutionary. Now, I think everybody understands what was going on at the time, right? The Romans were occupying and had conquered Israel. Pilate was the governor, the Roman governor, that was tasked of keeping peace in this conquered people. So Barabbas, it says in Luke, was actually a revolutionary. Means he had started revolutions against the Romans. Now, it also said he was a murderer, and undoubtedly, he was probably a murderer of a Roman citizen, because if he was a revolutionary, undoubtedly, I mean, you could be thrown in jail just for being a revolutionary, but I have a feeling that he may have murdered a Roman. But regardless of whatever, he was a murderer, and he was a revolutionary. It also says in one account that he was a robber as well. This guy was just bad news. Pilate was the one that chose to roll him out. Now, I think what's interesting is when you look at those two and you realize the incredible dichotomy between the two, there's something in there that we don't want to miss. That we don't want to miss. When you look at the term rejected, by the way, I'll just have you advance the slides. This doesn't seem to work. Go one more slide forward. When you look at the word rejected, there's a real strong meaning in this word that I don't want us to miss. And it'll bring it even further home. The word rejected has a powerful connotation. You know, you say someone rejected me. You know, someone hurt my feelings, they rejected me or whatever. Well, that word actually inside the Greek has a lot of passion, a lot of power to it. It literally means to verbally renounce knowledge or relationship of. to refuse to agree with, to disregard, refuse to follow. And in that section of Scripture, when we read that, you'll notice that the word rejected is actually used a few times. Again, go back to verse 13. You handed him over and you disowned, that's rejected him, before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. You disowned, again rejected, the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released. So twice, Peter uses this term, rejected. You refused him. You refused to obey him. Now, the reason I bring up Barabbas is because Barabbas stood for rebellion. He was a rebellious guy. He was somebody who started, wow, it's an alien. Oh, you don't see the alien? Sorry, that was just me. That threw me off. I had this alien on my... There was an alien. I swear there was an alien right there. Okay. You're restarting Windows. Okay. Whew! Thank you, Lord. He stood for rebellion. And when you really... When it really comes down to it, and you were looking at... When you look at the Jewish people, what were they rejecting? What did that one guy say? He said, he's an imposter. They were rejecting Jesus as the Son of God and therefore their master. Their master, the one that they were supposed to worship, the one that they were supposed to identify as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Instead, they wanted a murderer. And as I read this scripture, as I was preparing for the message, and I got to this scripture, it just jumped out on me. The world has chosen a murderer instead of Jesus Christ. And you see it all the time. Their murderer could be their possessions. Their murderer could be... their addictions. The murderer could be their pride. Their murderer could be something they don't even know. But they've rejected Jesus. And so that jumped out at me and it made me think about that. I'm like, okay, yeah. And then I thought, what about you, Scott? What about you? What have you rejected? Now, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have placed him at the top, and he is the one that I have not rejected. Yet, if I really truly look in the mirror and stare at that mirror and look at it with the eyes of the Lord, one of the things that you'll find sometimes, keep going. I got it now, yes. One of the things that you'll find is that there's little bits and pieces that we still haven't turned over to God, that we just haven't turned over to Him. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this scripture. This scripture is really, to me, it really emphasizes and summarizes what exactly we're supposed to do when it comes to receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Although it doesn't technically talk about that, it talks about the concept that we need to understand. Don't you know, Romans 6:16, Paul says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? And then he says, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. I find that my life has what I call a progressive submission. And I think anybody that's a Christian will understand this, that's been a Christian for any period of time. Progressive submission really is where you give everything you know to God. You're at the cross, you meet Jesus, you realize your life's a mess, and he's the one that you need. So you lay it all down to Him. And then you start walking. And then suddenly something happens. And you see something ugly in yourself that you never saw before. I've said this before from stage. God would not be so unkind to us as to show us every fault we had at the time of conversion. God's not that way. He knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And when I think of this Barabbas, he has become for me a symbol of that which God is about to reveal to me. But when it's revealed, I have to make a decision. Do you understand that? Just because it's revealed to you doesn't mean you're past it. And this is the whole point of what I want to bring out today. God progressively shows us things in ourselves. We just went through this weekend, wholeness training and teaching. It was wonderful. And through it, we had to do different exercises. And by doing this, some things actually got revealed to us. Each person saw some things. But just like the point in time where I realized that I needed my Savior, when I see something else, I have to make a decision of whether I'm going to take Barabbas or I'm going to take Jesus. And that can be the most courageous thing you will ever do. See, too many Christians do this. They walk up to the foot of that cross and they say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You have it all. And then they walk. And when they come face to face with another Barabbas, they say, well, wait a second. I did that over there. I'm okay. I did that over there. I'm going to continue to have my anger problem because I'm saved after all. I'm saved. I'm going to continue to drink too much. I'm going to continue to have a foul mouth. I'm going to continue to have rebellion in my heart. I'm going to continue to take offense easy. I'm going to continue to hate my brother. But it's okay because I met Jesus at the cross. And so every time God shows you a Barabbas, you have to make that decision to deal with it. Anybody here had fun dealing with your problems? No. They're not fun to deal with. In fact, sometimes it's downright ugly. But see, the cross is a beginning point. Jesus never told the disciples, stay at the open tomb. Stones rolled back, let's just stay there. No, he didn't say that. Your life symbolically is to go out and now let God continue to change you as you share what he's done with you. The most beautiful thing in the world is to watch an older person, 50s, 60s, 70s. I said that for some of the teens. 90s, 120s. Let me just rephrase that. When you see a mature person in Christ who's been walking with the Lord for years and years, humble themselves and say, God just revealed something I've got to change. Wow. That's amazing. That's beautiful. That's just beautiful. That's a Barabbas. So when I throw all this stuff out, I really want to challenge you. I want to challenge you with this quote. This woman, as far as I know, was not a Christian, but I love this quote. No evil dooms us hopelessly except the evil we love and desire to continue in that make no effort to escape from. Brethren, God gave you the power. He gave you the power to walk through whatever he's going to reveal to you. I am about to go through something I'm really scared about. but I know he's given me the power to do it. Some of you in this room are going through this. Some of you have been part of the personal wholeness. You went home one of these nights and you just went, I cannot believe I just see that now. Oh my goodness. But he doesn't show it to you. What's the phrase? He won't bring you to it without bringing you through it. He won't bring you to it without bringing you through it. That's what he's going to do. And, brethren, when you see flaws in some of your brothers and sisters, guess what? They're going to see it eventually. If God tells you to work with them and help them, fine. But why do we judge our brothers and sisters? It's like, well, can't that guy see he's got pride all over his face? Well, maybe he will. Maybe God just hasn't brought him to that point yet. That means we have to love one another and walk through this. So I throw out a challenge to you to ask God some questions this week. Ask God to show you what you chose or what you've been choosing over Jesus. Who is your Barabbas or what is your Barabbas? What is your master other than Jesus Christ? And then, of course, do what Peter just said. Repent and move forward. By the way, repenting? Don't think you can get away easy, but just by getting on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry. Now you're going to say, wait a second, Scott, what are you telling me? Sometimes God will show you a Barabbas. But to get through that Barabbas means you're going to need help. I think that's one of the reasons God made the church. You have people here that love you, that care for you, that you're in relationship with. If you're not in relationship with, then you need to get in relationship with. You get in a life group. Start loving on people. Let them love on you. And God will give you the people that will help you through that. Maybe it's professional counseling. Who knows what it is? Maybe it's a 12-step program. But he won't bring you to it without promising to bring you through it. So repent and say, God, I want to choose you. That's your option. It's your decision. So brethren, the decision that you made at the cross wasn't the last decision you have to make. Oh, for eternal salvation it is. But God did not call us to be victims and to be enslaved by the enemy. He called us, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that's true, is that true, by the way?
Yes.
Is it really true?
Yes.
Well, then why are we staring at our Barabbases and saying, I choose him? Because it's scary, I know. Because you failed many times before, I know. He's promised us to get past that. He's promised us. And I, for one, want to stand on that promise. Bow your heads with me. We'll ask the band to come up. We're going to play you guys out. Heavenly Father, oh, Father, your Spirit's so powerful in our room today. Thank you for wonderful worship, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, the Bible, and you've preserved these wonderful, wonderful things in there. And Father, we thank you for this scripture and this section of scripture. And Father, we thank you specifically for the fact that you give us the courage and the strength to face up to every time we see a Barabbas and to still choose Jesus. Father, we're going to ask that you cleanse us. Cleanse us of the mud and the muck that's closing our eyes. That's what we need to be cleansed of, Father. And then, Father, as our eyes get opened and we start to see these things that are stopping us from living that full life for you, when we see the master that we've been serving and we feel the shame and the condemnation and all the stuff that's going to come with it, Father, that we have the courage, Lord, to believe you. Because, Father, we realize it takes courage to believe. Father, recreate us in right in front of ourselves. Just recreate us, Lord. And I pray for all of us this week that we go forward, that we will not come back the same. That we don't come back the same, Father, that we don't come back and just, this was just another sermon. It's just another worship. But rather we come back and we finally say, you know what? I'm going to choose Jesus this time. I'm not going to go for the murderer. Father, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, recreate us. And thank you, Father, that you will never bring us to something you never bring us, that you won't bring us through. So, Father, as we dismiss, we thank you for the healings. We thank you for the love that you've given us. We thank you for all the great things that you blessed us with. And we celebrate, Father. And we just thank you for everything you've given us and for freedom. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Guys, God.